So last week, if you were here last week at any of the services, we talked about inclusion. We talked about going all out so that all would be in, that all would be welcomed and feel God's embrace. And so, not entirely disconnected at all, we moved this week towards togetherness. And certainly there is a symmetry, a strong symmetry between this inclusion and this togetherness. We talk about what I would call the power of we. The power of we versus the frailty and the limitation of I. Inclusion and now togetherness, certainly related. They all move us towards collaboration and community. But as I begin, and I was reminded very recently by this, I offer a disclaimer. Whenever we talk about one thing, the goodness of one thing, I need to be cognizant that there are those here for which that is particularly painful. So we're actually going to begin today a bit talking about loneliness. And I offer that knowing that there are those amongst us that may not feel together, that may be in the midst of, in a season of disconnection, where they are apart from someone, something that they love. And that's painful and that hurts. And so we begin there with that acknowledgement and also the urging for each and every one of us to always be aware of that. Be aware of those who are in our midst that need some togetherness in their lives. I want to thank Reuben for helping me out before and during the sermon. If you can just go to that next slide. Social scientists have done studies, and recent studies were done in which they monitored the brain activity of groups of folks. And what they found was when those folks in the midst of this experiment experienced exclusion or loneliness, that their brains reacted in the same way they do when they experience physical pain. Physical pain. Because it hurts. It hurts to be alone when we're not desiring it. It hurts to be excluded. Psychologists and social scientists also tell us that one of the leading causes here in our states of school shootings is exclusion and loneliness. Stated another way, loneliness, being alone, kills. It kills, it hurts, it's painful. And so we, the church, the body of Christ, as Jesus did, must continually extend ourselves to embrace, to pay attention, to be aware of those who are hurting, and to reach out. So that one is not one. So that one becomes two. You go to that next slide, Reuben. There's a picture that I took, or maybe my wife did, I'm not sure, of Alcatraz, the island of Alcatraz. It's actually a national park in San Francisco. We had the good blessing and pleasure to take a trip this summer to San Francisco and then Hawaii, which we'll get to a little later. And this was part of our journey in San Francisco. We went to this island and we visited this old abandoned imprisonment. And there were two things in particular that stood with me as we visited. At one point in the tour, in the journey, we were led down this particular corridor, this alleyway of prisons. There were 42 of them all together. And this is where they held prisoners in solitary confinement, alone. They were even more limited, more alone than they were otherwise, for large stretches of time. Allowed to be removed and be taken out of their prison for just short stints of time. And I noticed that the prisons, and I even thought about it and commented, the prisons were actually larger than the other ones. And I thought in the midst of this just incredible, painful place and cruelty, perhaps those that constructed it realized that they could only be so cruel. And they gave just a little more space in that solitary place. Because loneliness, exclusion, there's perhaps nothing that is more painful.
And those that ran that place knew it.
The other thing that jumped out at me is that when you exit the building itself, there's a kind of a veranda, if you will. And from that view, which the prisoners would have had often, because they could step out there during times of the day, you can see the city of San Francisco. So it's not just that the prisoners were confined and isolated, it's that they were on an island of isolation that had for them this constant reminder. See, right over there, just across that little body of water, there is life and love, there is relationship, there is connection, there is togetherness. It's all there. And you get to look at it every single day knowing you cannot go there. That pain, that punishment is inflicted in a most cruel way because they understood that there is nothing more painful, perhaps, than not being together. If you go to the next slide. I had this poster in my bedroom when I was a teenager. It may be familiar to some of you. It's a take, if you will, on a more famous painting. And it places in this picture James Dean and Humphrey Bogart, Marilyn Monroe and Elvis Presley. And I'm not sure as a young person why I was attracted to it, but it found its way in my bedroom next to Hulk Hogan and Bruce Springsteen and other things I was attracted to as a teenager. And I think about it now as an adult. And I think about the lives of each of those people. I mean, so much giftedness, so much fullness. But yet we know so much pain and loneliness as well. And I thought as I looked at it today as a 40-something year old, well, maybe part of the attraction for me was that it offered for each of them in their lonely lives, in their lonely places, a place of togetherness. Like somehow they brought their woundedness together in that place, in that diner. And all was made better. All was made all right. And I thought, gee, why did I give that poster up? If you go to the next slide, where's my Star Wars fans? Any of you? Okay. It's like a $20 toy. It's not that impressive. May the Force be with you. Thank you. Have you seen Solo? Yeah, so kind of the latest installment there is this film Solo, which tells the backstory of Han Solo. Now, here's the irony. We get the story and we understand a little bit where he arrived at this name, Han Solo. But when you think of Han Solo, who do you think of? Harrison Ford. Give me more. Who else do you think of? Chewie, of course. You think of Han Solo, and you invariably think of Chewbacca as well. Han Solo seems to almost kind of pride himself on being a loner, a rebel. Right? He walks alone, but he doesn't walk alone, does he? He's really more so Han Duo, isn't he? He really is. He has this part of him that feels disconnected and alone. And when you really dig into his story and you see it play out, you realize that he's always looking and striving for togetherness. He's looking for his partner or his partners. It's important. We all desire to be connected and to be together. So today I want to look at this scripture and I want to do some math with you. Any mathematicians here? None of those. Yeah. A handful of Star Wars fans, but no one likes math. It's okay. Math's okay. All right. It's actually a beautiful thing if you really understand it, which I don't. So we're going to do some mathematics. Go to that next slide, Reuben. We all recently did some mathematics. Now, some may call this fuzzy math, but I call it spirit math or Jesus math or holy math. We recently took 5 and we added 2 to it. And we came up with over 5,000, right? We called it the Caravan of Hope. That's holy math. That's Jesus math.
5 plus 2 equals way more than 7. When Jesus says 70 times 7 or 77 times 7, the fuzzy math there is that he means forever, always, time again and again and again. It doesn't quite compute, but that is the math of God. Fuzzy math, holy math, spirit math is God taking death and crucifixion and saying somehow it equals resurrection. Amen? So let's look at a little bit of this fuzzy math. We're going to actually start out with simple math. If you go to that next slide. 2 is greater than 1. That's what the scripture says. That we get. There's not anything too fuzzy about that. So I'll start with simple math that actually works in our brains. 2 is greater than 1. We all understand this and know this. Cheryl and I, for different reasons and in different ways, have been on a journey in the last year where we've paid a little more attention to our health and what we put in our bodies. And if you've been on a journey like this, you know it's a whole lot easier to do so with someone else. Is it not? Yes. Because 2 is better. 2 is more than 1. Have you ever seen a movie or had an experience by yourself and then you just wanted to watch that again? Not so you could watch it again, but so you could watch it again with someone else. And so you'll happily watch it a second or a third time because you enjoyed the film, but you want to experience it with someone else. Because 2 is stronger and more powerful and more mysterious and magical than 1. Think about our social media, right, and our phones. Like when we have an experience, when we were down in Hawaii, right, I saw the most beautiful sunsets and I would grab a picture of them. And what I wanted to do every night, whenever I could, after the day was done, the sun had gone down, was get onto Facebook and post those pictures. Now we shared it with each other, but I wanted to just share it with more people. I mean, if you ever have an experience like that and take a picture or snap it or record it in some way and you're by yourself, like this is, for all the criticism and all the dangers that we talk about with social media, I mean, that's what we're desiring. We're desiring to connect with each other. We're saying, this was a beautiful thing and I don't want to keep it to myself. It's more powerful, it's more beautiful if someone else can see it with me. And so we post. And we Instagram, right? Instantly, so we can share that magic and that mystery. Because all of life, the joy, the pain, the mountaintops, the valleys, all of it is made better by togetherness, by community. Whether that's a community of 2 or 200 or 2,000, together is better. 2 hearts are greater than 1. Now we're going to go to some fuzzier math. It's where 1 plus 1 equals 3. Now the illustration, we get that, right? We get that when 2 people come together and people make love, they can create something more, something else. And so in that way, we get 1 plus 1 equals 3. But I want to take us even deeper. I want to say that if I am 1 right now in this space, count me as 1. And you collectively are another 1. That to the extent any of my spirit, any of my words resonate with you, that 1 plus 1 creates more than just 2. That there is something else that has been created. This is holy math. And what is that something else? You can call it love. You can call it God. Whatever it is, we know that when 2 people come together, that there is more that is present. That there is something more that is created. Think about the relationships in your life. Husbands and wives, partners, sons, daughters, mothers, fathers, whatever it may be, good friends. Think about your journeys, where you've been, where you are. And if you think about that journey and that life, you know that something more has been created than just each of you. And that more, those are the things of heaven. That beauty, that love, that godness, that goodness, those are those things that are eternal. 1 plus 1 is more than 2. It's more than 2. It equals at least three.
Go to the next slide. I also want to say that 2 minus 1 still equals 2. Karen looked at me really cross there. That 2 minus 1 equals 2. I had a conversation recently. I reached out to an old and good friend of mine, Pastor Joe McCarthy. Many of you know Pastor Joe. And I hadn't talked to him in a while. Pastor Joe's out in Pennsylvania now. And so I called him up and we had a conversation on the phone. And I told him, or he told me first as we were nearing the end of that phone call. He says, "Anthony, like, I wish you well. You know, I want you to know I pray for you every day. And I believe it to be true." And I told him, I said, "Joe, you know," I said, "I got to tell you, my mother gets on me for this all the time. Like, I am not the best with calling and keeping in touch as regularly as I should. But I want you to know that not a single day goes by that you, who you are, your influence, all that we've shared together, doesn't impact and affect my life." We were two. For a period of time in our lives, we were physically together and sharing. And now we're apart. And so that two was minus by one, but we're still two. That is the mystery and the beauty of relationship. 2 minus 1 does not equal 1. It doesn't leave us alone. We affect each other in beautiful, beautiful ways. And when we are apart, we can still be together. It's one of the wonderful and beautiful things that my lovely wife is out there. I'm not going to point her out. It's one of the beautiful things about a marriage that grows older and matures. You know, when you're young, when you're in the midst of that new romantic love, like, you've got to be with that person every single moment. And you feel as if you're not in their presence, that somehow you're not together. But as you get older, you cherish the time that you're together, and you're okay when each other enjoys something apart. Like, you take joy in that because you're still together. She's with me right now. Now, we're in the same room, but, you know, we're disconnected by some space and we're doing kind of our own thing. I'm blabbing away and she's listening, but we're still together in this space. 2 minus 1 still equals 2. Jesus says, "I will never leave you." That's the same mystery I believe he's talking about. He gives us this spirit. We call it the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. "I'll never leave you." He leaves in some way. He leaves this earth in a physical way. But he tells all those who have followed him, who have loved him, who have known him, that he remains, that he always remains. Go to that next slide. That's a picture of us in Hawaii. That's Cheryl and I. It's a couple of strangers. So, you know, if you go to Hawaii, and I was talking to someone just before, and we were sharing together about our experience there. You know, when we arrive at the resort, they give us leis, and the men get these. And when you dig a little bit more into these beads, you appreciate the beauty of it. They're made by this, I don't know if I'm going to pronounce it right, cuckoo nut tree. And if you look at the canopy of shimmering silvery green leaves from the tree, you'll know what we're talking about, that these beads represent light. They represent light. Ancient Hawaiians used the nuts of the tree for spiritual, medicinal, navigational purposes. However, it says the most common usage was for light. When strung in a row on a palm leaf and lit, the nuts looked very much like a candle. So these beads represent light. And as I was wearing them, and when I got home, they didn't go with any of my outfits. They don't go well with a suit when I go to work. But I want to keep wearing them because there's some light that's within them. And we are called to be light for one another. To connect and to be together. There's another beautiful tradition, and you all probably know it. It's the word aloha, right? That greeting. And before we went and ventured off to Hawaii, I just thought, yeah, aloha, that's what you say. That means hello and goodbye. Aloha. But it means so much more than that. It means love.
It means love, it means compassion, it means affection, peace, mercy. And so the ancients believed and still believe to this day that a greeting of aloha, it means love and compassion. It also means to be in the presence of the divine, the breath of God. So when I, as one, say aloha to another one, I'm acknowledging that God is in this place, that we are together. And that's why I love the very end. Go to that final slide. I love the very end of today's scripture. It says, together, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. And then it says, a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. The entire verse speaks of two, and two, and two. And then all of a sudden, without warning, it talks about three. We know that third to be this God, this Spirit. But it's introduced without any introduction. And I take that abruptness, that intrusion, to mean that when two are together, we may not even be aware of it, but God is present. It is better to be together. Together is better, and I would argue and leave you with this. Together is God. We're searching and looking and asking questions, where is God? When we're together, 1 + 1 = 3. God is always present. Amen?
Amen. Amen.